Hey there, listeners. Well, I had a great interview with a guy called Cody Thompson. He's the CEO and co-founder of an organization called WorkPod. Now, they specialize in helping businesses grow an international team with people who are virtual assistants and different sort of domain or subject matter experts. Now, the title of this episode is The Commitment of a Leader to Constantly Change. And we talked about that at length, but also we talked about the ability for a leader to be able to adjust their approach based on where people are at. Now, Cody is a dynamic entrepreneur and a visionary leader, and he's got a track record of success. Sit back and enjoy the interview.
Welcome to Leadership is Changing. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change. This is taking your leadership to another level by finding the balance between executive excellence and personal well-being through stories that inspire real change. It's time to adapt in our fast-moving world when leadership is changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Leadership is Changing podcast. Great to have you here with us. I've got a great guest with me and somebody I've been wanting to get on the show for a little while now. His name is Cody Thompson. Cody, a massive welcome to you.
Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate you having me.
Excellent. Now, whereabouts in the world are you today?
Northern New South Wales, just about an hour and a half from the coast. I have a farm here with my wife and three kids, and we just love being out of the city.
Excellent. And a farm, do you have like livestock and things like that?
Yeah, we've got 70 cattle, we got chickens, and we got a whole bunch of different animals on the property.
How do you have time for that as well as all the other stuff you do?
I have a guy actually who, Kirsten, a guy who helps me work on the farm. So he does a couple of days a week for us here, looking after everything for us.
No, that helps. Yeah, very good. We'll talk a little bit more about time and about the way you work with things and so forth going forward. Now, tell us more about your background.
So my background isn't in business. When I finished high school, I started running volunteer leadership programs in the high schools. When I was in high school, I had a number of friends, unfortunately, that committed suicide. And so when I finished school, the first thing I did is I went back into the high school that I went to and I was running leadership programs. So basically, they would give me the kids that were about to be expelled or basically the rough kids. And then I would go to their football games. I'd take them to the gym. I'd spend time with them, try to keep them in school, help them through difficult situations. Then from there, I was part of a local church and they saw what I was doing in the schools and they basically wanted to help fund me so that I could do more of those programs. So I got put on staff as the youth pastor of the church. So while I was going through doing a degree in graphic design, I was running programs in the high schools. We'd do breakfast programs and then leadership programs, those types of things. And then I became the associate pastor of the church when I finished high school. Then I got promoted to be the national youth director, which is basically the pastor for all of the youth pastors in all of the churches around Australia in the Apostolic Church. And then my wife and I took on a volunteer position in a church on the Gold Coast. And so I needed to start making some money because the church couldn't pay me to run the program. But I felt like it was what we were supposed to do next. So we took that job and I started freelancing as a graphic designer. And then that freelancing business turned into a design agency. And then that design agency morphed into Lightning Sites, which was my first company. And then we built that company up over 7 years to about $3 million in revenue. I brought in a CEO to run that company last year, sold the majority of my shares in that business. So, and then I launched WorkPod. WorkPod is a business helping people to build teams in the Philippines. So that's like a very quick snapshot of my journey. But yeah, certainly didn't start in business. It was a byproduct of trying to make ends meet, which I think a lot of business owners could relate to.
Yeah, very much so. Now, the Lightning Site, bringing CEO on, and that was your little baby, right? You grew it. It was really cool. What was it like for you to sort of let go?
It was quite difficult. I probably should have done it 12 months earlier in a sense of like I thought about it, but I've had staff in that business for nearly a decade, 9 years. So the hardest part was just feeling like I'd let them down, but both businesses were growing rapidly. WorkPod had nearly grown to the same size as Lightning Sites, and I was the CEO of both. And I could tell that it was affecting the growth of the web development business. I wasn't able to give it my full attention. And I believe when you're the CEO of a business, you have a responsibility to all of the staff. You have a responsibility to all of the clients to give it your maximum effort. And if you can't give your maximum effort, then you're damaging the potential results of the employees. For me, that was the biggest thing. I was like, I promised the employees that we would be the best web development company in the world. It's not going to happen if I'm spread too thin across different organizations. And so, but it took me 12 months to come to that realization where, yeah, that I realized I wasn't being kind to them by staying in the game. I needed to bring someone else in.
Yeah. So sometimes we need to make those decisions, which they are hard at times, but we need to do it for the better good, if I can put it that way, right? So for the organization, for the staff, for the customers to do it, because sometimes we can take on a lot and we can be the bottleneck of things as well, right? So yeah.
Exactly.
Now, WorkPod, so you're the CEO and the co-founder of WorkPod. Now, WorkPod, for our listeners, what is WorkPod? What do you do there?
So while I was building Lightning Sites, one of the major ways we scaled the business was building a team in the Philippines. And when I started to do that some 8-9 years ago, there wasn't very many options for building teams over there. There was freelancer websites like Upwork, Freelancer, and then there was agency models where the agencies would hire the staff on your behalf and then lease them to you. And neither of those approaches I felt like were good approaches. Freelancer websites, you find freelancers, not people that are looking for long-term careers. And at agencies, the staff don't belong to your organization. They're hired by a different organization and leased to you, which again is not very good if you don't even own the most important resource in your own company. So to me, neither of those options were very good. And so when I built Lightning Sites, I went over there, had to create my own company, rent my own building. Later, we built our own building and had to do it myself. And so WorkPod was born when I built my own office for Lightning Sites and I had 50 spare desks. And so I decided to help some of my friends who'd been asking me over the years for help doing what I had done. And so I started hiring staff from my friends and putting them in my office. It was meant to just cover my own rent. That was my thinking. And then after helping my friends, they all wanted to grow their teams and I now had no more space. And that's how WorkPod was born. We decided to fit out another facility. So we fit out a facility for 450 desks. And then within 12 months, we filled that for other clients. And that was the start of WorkPod. So basically what we do is we offer the service that I wish I had, which is we help people find the staff, but instead of us hiring them and leasing them to our clients, we set up a direct relationship between the staff and that organization. So everybody, it works out better for everybody. The VA or the staff member in the Philippines gets paid more because they get paid directly. The Australian or New Zealand business, and we have clients in the US and UK as well, they paying directly, so they pay less price for the talent. And then we get paid directly by our client for the desk space in our office. So everything's more transparent. Everyone knows who's getting paid what. And ultimately, it's more affordable for the business owner and the person in the Philippines gets paid more. So I just think it's a better model and it seems to be going really well. People seem to be really liking it.
I actually have looked at different organizations that provide that kind of service and you're right. Your model is the best. It is awesome. It is so professional. And also what I'm seeing so far is the fact that the way that you do it with the desk and providing all that, because at the end of the day, I think you are the CEO and the co-founder of an organization, but you're actually a community builder. That's the way I look at you, is that you're building a community of people in the Philippines there who are doing work for various customers, but then they are working together and being part of something, which is very important. That's the way I look.
It is very much like that, building community, and it's an extended community as well. The Philippines government says that if one person gets hired on a full-time salary, it actually supports 20 Filipinos. So like in the last 2 years, we've placed 800 staff, 800 times by 20, whatever that is. That's how many Filipinos are being impacted. So it's a wider community as well. We have a goal to place 10,000 jobs in the next 5 years. And if we do that, that impacts 200,000 Filipinos. So that's really what our vision's all about.
That's very good. Well done. And congrats on the growth and what you do, because I think it's really, really important. And you are a kind of guy that I've got to know who is very much caring about people, somebody who wants to help, but also is very smart, who's got that business mind and is wanting to grow businesses, but help others grow their businesses too. So well
Thank
done
you,
what you're doing.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Excellent. So my next question for you would be around leadership. And so I think you've actually already answered it before about the youth pastor side and helping out schools, doing some leadership development there. Is that when you started in leadership? Is that how you got into leadership?
I guess in a formal sense, that was the first leadership posting I had, was getting a job in the high schools. But even through sport, through high school, I was always one of the people on the team that coaches would look to help rally the team and things like that. But in terms of a formal role, that job that I got finishing high school, that was my first sort of formal role, I guess.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. And then later on, good to see that you've had a growth as well in leadership. How have you developed yourself as a leader? Is it into the fire and doing the roles and things like that? Or have you gone and done other kind of study? What do you do to sort of, A, have developed yourself, but also kept you on the cutting edge as well?
For me, a lot of it's come through church. And there's not many ways. When you go to church every Sunday, sometimes more times a week, putting yourself in a position where you can self-examine yourself and your own qualities as a person. And I think whether or not a listener might have faith or not, like that, the concept of like looking at yourself and trying to find truth in yourself, in a sense of like, where am I at as a person? Where am I going wrong? What qualities do I need to work on as a person? That's just been a constant in my life since I became a Christian when I was 16 years old. And then when you're in that situation, you're putting yourself under the leadership of other people. So you're looking to pastors or other leaders that are around you, and you're putting yourself in a position where you're willing to be criticized, not criticized, but receive feedback and instruction. And so if you put yourself in a place where you've got mentors and leaders that you're willing to take feedback from, to me, that's how I have been able to hopefully grow as a person, and then that then impacts the way that I can lead others. So that's, I think, how I've been able to develop myself. I have done some formal study. After finishing my degree in graphic design, I did Bible college. I didn't finish my master's, but I was doing my master's. You got to get 12 subjects to finish the master's. I finished 8 subjects. So I have, I think that's a degree or graduate certificate. So I didn't quite finish enough subjects to get my master's, but I did a couple of years of study there as well, which helped.
Yeah. And then adding into also what you've done around Lightning Sites, and then of course now, of course, with WorkPod and how that's growing as well, that all takes leadership, right? And that doesn't happen. You don't get that success if the leadership isn't right.
And it's through the fire, like you said. You figure out as the businesses grow, your leadership approach has to change. You have to grow as a person. You have to be committed to constantly changing yourself, like constantly evolving yourself to be able to deal with the challenges that you're facing in the business. And every time the business stops growing, it's generally because of some inadequacy in me or my leadership style. And that's why the organization stops growing.
Yeah, excellent. So listeners, that's actually quite a good point that Cody's just talked about. The fact that you are committed to consistently changing yourself and growing, I think it's a very important thing that we should be looking at doing. Cody, this question is, could be someone who's alive or from someone who's from history. Who's your favorite leader and why?
The obvious one for me, as I said before, I'm a Christian. So the obvious one for me is like biblical characters, people in the Bible like Jesus or Peter or Paul, these types of people. The risk of taking the obvious, I guess with Jesus, one of the things that always just I admired about him was that he took the form of a servant as a leader. And I think it wasn't what people were expecting. Jewish people were expecting a person who would come and overthrow Roman government. And he was just not their picture of a leader that he came. And there's a picture of him in John 13 where he washes his disciples' feet. And that was something that would be seen as a servant's job. Someone in a leadership position should never wash people's feet. But that was the picture of who he was. And to me, that's always the approach I've tried to take in leadership, is like being a servant. The traditional idea of a hierarchical leadership org structure. Obviously, an org structure is useful in terms of visualizing how an organization is put together. But the moment, from my opinion, the moment you have leaders that are like leading downward, you're not setting your people up for success. I've always felt like flipping the org chart, and the CEO to me is the person at the bottom of the organization who's upholding the organization and trying to create an environment for their people to be successful. So that's always been my approach to leadership, and it's come through my understanding of Jesus, but also other biblical characters. That theme of servanthood, humble leadership, that flows through like all of the biblical leadership characters.
Yep. I don't know which one. You choose which character from the Bible, whether it's Jesus or Peter and Paul or anyone else. If you two were to sit on a park bench somewhere having a cup of coffee, or I don't even know what they would be drinking. Anyhow, what they would drink, you two sitting down and having a conversation, would there be one question that Cody would love to ask them?
Such a hard question. I would just ask how you did it. Like, that would be the question. Like, if you look at what Jesus went through for what he believed in, like, how did you do that? Yeah. That would be the question. And that, like you said, pick any character, that'd be the same type of question. They went through crazy things for what they believed in. And I don't know how you'd go through that amount of pressure. So that would probably be the question. Just like, how did you do that? Like, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Went through a lot. Definitely went through a lot. Yeah. My question probably would be also, how did you separate that water? That'd be awesome to know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. You pick anything.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's actually quite interesting because I think sometimes people look at leaders and they go like, wow. And I go, great. But what would be one thing you would love to ask them? Because I think for some people, they actually will have the opportunity to meet some of the leaders that they talked about on the show, right? So for some of them, it's been, even one person I talked about, it was either their mum and dad, but their mum and dad have just passed away over the last few years. And I go, great. But was there one question you wish you had asked them? And just to hear the answer to that question, it's like, wow. And yeah, so it's really amazing. Hey, the show is called Leadership is Changing. When I say that statement or that title, what does it mean for you?
I thought about this actually because I've heard this on other episodes that you've recorded. I talked about it a little bit just a moment ago. For me, like, leadership is changing is about the commitment of a leader to continually change. Because I feel like the principles of leadership haven't changed, like, in terms of like what makes a good leader. Like, I feel like people will have always looked for the same qualities in their leaders. But when you are a leader, you have to be committed to changing because your leadership qualities and abilities need to be constantly changing. And if you're in a growing organization, then your role will change in the organization nearly weekly if the business is growing quickly. And if you're not able to make those changes, then you're not going to be successful. And leadership is also taking other people through that journey of change. So all the people that are on your teams, if the organization is growing, it's because your people underneath you are growing and you need to be able to take them on a journey from where they are now to 1, 2, 3 steps closer to their potential. And so to me, that's what leadership is all about. It's about being committed to transformation and taking other people on that transformation journey as well.
And so, Cody, I think the question that's coming to my mind as you're talking about that is that for a lot of leaders, they have people in their organization, and as that journey, it's about helping them grow and change to reach their potential. But for some leaders, they want it to happen faster, but that person may not move as fast as that leader or others. How do you handle that? How do you handle people who are at different levels and at different sort of both experience and different parts of their journey? How do you help them move through, whether it be fast or slow?
I think obviously one of the challenges of leadership is being able to adjust your approach to different people depending on where they're at. I think that's definitely one of the things that I always want to get better at, but it's certainly one of the things over the years that held me back. I guess it starts out when you're a novice, you feel like everybody should be like you. And so you treat everyone as if they should be the leader that you are, or they should have the personality traits that you have. And my personality is someone who takes action immediately. And so that's a mistake if you think that everyone in your organization has the same personality as you, that when they get an idea, they take action immediately. You learned pretty quickly that that's not the way that it works. And so you have to develop that skill of being able to identify where people are at, what you can do as a leader to put them in a position to grow, and then adjust your approach to that person. But also being understanding when you've got people who are not willing to grow. That's the other thing, that there's sometimes people in your organization. There was people in my organization that I saw potential in them, but I saw it, but they couldn't see it. And sometimes you try to help people see that potential, and sometimes they just won't. And so some of those people no longer work in our organization. And that was hard to learn as well, that doesn't matter how much I want it, they need to want it as well. And as long as they've got that desire to grow, then you can work with them.
Yeah. And that desire to grow is a big thing. You can have somebody with maybe not all the skill set there, but if they've got their willingness to grow and have a right attitude and the mindset, you can teach them that skill set. They can grow from it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Now, the world seems to be getting faster and technology's driving a lot of it. We're seeing AI and so forth coming on board more. We've got data, we've got the business side, the social side. We're seeing people working a little bit differently in the world too. So things like the work pods and so forth are coming along a lot more to help people bring in people into their team, but maybe in different parts of the world. So it's becoming more of an international team. With that pace of change, and what makes a leader successful in that fast-paced, ever-changing world?
I mean, I think adaptability is part of it, like being able to adapt quickly. What we were just talking about a moment ago just comes into play at a higher level. Like if the world is changing rapidly, then us as leaders and our people need to be changing rapidly as well. And so it's just putting more pressure on that change, like that we have to be faster at being able to change. Again, like I said earlier, I feel like the principles of leadership like don't really change from my perspective in terms of like what people want in a great leader. But because the world is changing so rapidly, we have to be as people adapting to that faster, and the people in our organizations do. So it just puts more pressure on us to be open to new technology, open to new markets, open to changing our whole business model. Like there's some organizations that are going to need to like pull their whole model down and rebuild it. And that's not an easy thing to do. So yeah, that's wherein lies the challenge for leaders in this time.
Yeah. And it is. And then for a lot of people, it becomes the change is happening so much and there is a lot of change and there's change on top of change on top of change. People start to become either change fatigued or they become overwhelmed as well. And so they're trying to cope. So I talk to leaders a lot about surviving as a leader to becoming then a leader that's thriving, right? And it's the thriving piece that's quite important for a lot of leaders to look at. What are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree. I think a lot of it comes down to mindset, like around like, when you think about change and changing as a person, is that a negative thing or a positive thing? For me, it's a positive thing. Like I think of it as growing or stretching, allowing yourself to be put under pressure, like a band when you stretch it, there's that pressure. But if you hold that stretch for long enough, the capacity of the band will be bigger. And that's what I feel like as a person. If you stretch it too hard, you'll snap the like a band. But if you can stretch it to the right amount and you remain under tension, then you grow. And so I see it as a positive thing. And I think that's where people don't survive as leaders. They either get stretched too far till they snap, or their opinion is they avoid tension at all costs. They don't want to be put under tension and they don't see it as an opportunity to grow. So I guess that's the difference, I think, is going to be the mindset.
Yep. Okay, good. When today's world, whereby it's going to come down to the mindset, a lot of this what I'm about to ask, how we look at things as well, because it's a lot of the change is happening is technology. So with AI, do leaders today need to be AI savvy? Do they need to be an expert in AI? What do they need to be doing? Because I think a lot of people actually, and businesses, are afraid of AI and afraid of some of the change in technology. What are your thoughts on that?
I think we have to be aware of it. I wouldn't say a business leader needs to be an expert themselves, but my definition of an expert would be someone who really deeply understands how AI is even built. And I think a lot of people who call themselves AI experts perhaps don't even really understand how it's built and put together. But I think you need to be aware of the opportunities that AI presents in terms of how it's going to disrupt industries. If you're a leader of an organization and you're not adding to your risk register right now, AI, how's it going to impact my business model? Then there's a huge risk coming that you're not going to foresee. So I think all leaders should be doing that. And then just promoting in their teams and finding people who can help implement that. I don't think you have to be an expert yourself, but you need to be open to people in your organization with those skill sets to be able to help bring about change and see the opportunities and the risks that AI will bring to organizations. If you don't do that, then there's a big risk.
Yep. Now, Cody, you may have seen this in the lightning sites, but also probably more in the work pod side of things. You and I have been talking about leadership from a lens of a leader. If we had to change lens and talk about from an employee's perspective, has employees' expectations of leaders changed?
Perhaps. Like I said earlier, I feel like people have always wanted the same type of thing in a leader. You want someone who's strong, someone who's courageous, someone who thinks about others above themselves, willing to lay their own life down for the people that are underneath them. Like those qualities, I don't feel like has changed, but the world around us has changed a lot. And so I feel like employees are perhaps more empowered to think about their own needs nowadays. Again, I'm only 34, so I don't have like a huge amount, but just thinking from what I've heard from people in my mother's generation, they seem to just do what they were told more, rightly or wrongly. And whereas this generation tends to be more open about what they want. And so they're willing to voice those opinions more. And I guess you could see that as a positive or a negative. Being willing to voice your opinions is perfect. In fact, that's part of what you want. I know what your mission is for this podcast, Dennis. But I guess the way that you voice your opinion as an employee is important. Like I said earlier, you want to put yourself in a position where you've got leaders in your life who are willing to stretch and grow you. And so there should be a way that you approach leaders. There's a way that I approach my mentors where I respect them. I don't publicly disagree with decisions that they make if they've got a leadership role above me. Like I sit on boards, for example, and I need to respect the CEO of the organization, even if I disagree with them. If I'm in a meeting with them privately, I can disagree with them. But the moment I step out of that boardroom, we've made a decision to move forward as an organization. So publicly, I will back the decision that was made in that meeting, even if it was the decision that I disagreed with. Mm. So I guess there's some positives and negatives, I feel like, about how employees approach, I guess, what they expect from their employers. So when I'm looking at an employee who succeeds in my organizations, I'm looking for someone who will raise their voice and tell me what they think. I don't want yes men or women on my team. I want people that will tell me what they think. But you want people who do it in a way that is respectful as a team player, that they're coming with their ideas not to be negative, but to be constructive and grow the business together.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would want people to come to me and tell me what they think too, in a way that's respectful and so forth. But it's a way, because I value what they bring to the table too, because I'm one mind, I'm one person, right? They may see things from a different perspective, and I'd like to know, because I'd rather them tell me than me go and do something and it fails, but they knew the answer, or they knew they could have helped me, right? I'd rather that than the opposite.
Yeah, I was saying to my team recently, one of the things that I felt like I was doing too much of was talking in meetings. Uh-huh. We'd go to a meeting and then I would catch myself telling people what we'd be trying to solve an issue, and I'd catch myself talking first. And I try to talk last in meetings. You know, if there's an issue that we're trying to solve as a senior leadership team, I try to get everyone else to talk first. That's just a small change that I've tried to make to encourage my staff to use their brains and to feel comfortable sharing their opinion rather than me just telling people what I think. You want to kind of like let people be empowered to think for themselves. So that, I think that's been working well for us.
Yeah, because I find a lot of leaders, when I talk to them about that kind of thing that you're mentioning just now, for a lot of them, they go, oh, my team meetings, and people are not saying anything and they're not opening up. Yeah. And I go, yeah, because are you the talking head up front? One. Two, if they're going to take this attitude, oh, well, there's no point in us saying anything because you're the leader and you're going to decide anyhow. So they don't offer. But you're doing the right thing by saying, I'll go later and let's see what they have to say first. And sometimes I might have to encourage them to share things at first, but then later on they get used to it and it'll start to grow from there.
Yeah, there was this, I think I got it from Jeff Bezos. I heard this principle of 1-3-1 principle, which I implemented many years ago with my staff, which was, it's basically one problem, three possible solutions, and then one recommendation. And so I tried to teach my staff that if they come to me with a challenge, I want them to come with one challenge to try it, and then I want them to come with three possible solutions and one recommendation. Rather than just coming to you with a problem and hoping that you can solve it for them, get them to think about what are three possible solutions and then one recommendation. And that's worked really well for us over the years because it's encouraged my leaders not to use me as the source of all truth. And some of the best ideas that we've had in our organization have come from our employees using their brains rather than just all the ideas coming from me. And yep. So that's really helped us over the years.
It's powerful. And I add actually a little bit extra onto that last one where you say the recommendation and why, because I want them to tell me why, because yes, they've thought it through, right? So it's a good way rather than them saying, oh, number two. Okay, but how come? It's important, yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, if we were to think about the future here, where do you see leadership being in 5 years from now?
Well, I'd imagine change with the employees will continue, as we talked about before, people becoming more open about what they want. And I think that the pace of change with technology is going to continue to accelerate. So I guess what we've already talked about today, I don't think it's not going to go back the other way, at least from where I stand. It's going to require us to be more adaptable, more open to change, more willing to take people on the journey of change. So I feel like it's just going to continue to accelerate. So I guess more of the same, but faster.
But faster, yeah.
Yeah, would be my thoughts.
Yeah, excellent. Hey, Cody, it's been a pleasure talking to you. If our listeners wanted to get a hold of you, where should they go?
They can check out workpod.com. It's WRKPOD.com. And then they can also find me on LinkedIn.
Yeah, excellent. Hey, once again, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure talking to you today.
Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it.
Excellent. There you go, listeners. Being a servant leader is one thing that Cody talked about, but the commitment of a leader to constantly change is important. But also your ability to adjust your approach based on where your people might be at as well. The other thing too here is that employees being empowered to think more about their needs and what they are wanting to do. It's been excellent talking to Cody today. I'm really proud of what you're doing, Cody, and what you've done. And I'm looking forward to seeing that journey grow as more in the future too. So well done. There you go, listeners. Hey, thanks for joining us. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Leadership is Changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change, inspiring executives and leaders to adapt and lead a bigger game in a fast-moving world.